This is the Think Courageously podcast. I'm your host, Deb Cummins-Delato, and I'm here to challenge successful women like you to find the courage to make pivots so that you can ignite your life and expand your limited thinking about change. I'm a certified life and leadership coach, and I'm excited to share my stories and insights into igniting energy from within. When I was a kid, I had a poster on my wall with a quote from Helen Keller, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." Are you ready for a daring adventure? Are you looking for the best version of yourself? If so, you're in the right place. Let's embrace the adventure of sparking potential together. Well, hello and welcome to the Think Courageously podcast. This is a solo show today, and I decided to tackle something that has been something that I have personally been dealing with and thinking courageously about for about 11 years that I finally feel ready to share with all of you, my listeners, because I think that many of you suffer from some of the things that I'm going to talk about. And hopefully it's really relatable, although the specifics of my situation may not be specific to you. I think the nuggets in here will be. And so I decided to call this particular podcast Pain and Persistence and Thinking Courageously basically about pain and persistence. And I just want to start with saying that I never, ever, never did I want this to be my story. And I think I've done a pretty good job for 11 years of ensuring that it's not my story, that it's not specifically my story, and it's not the only story that I tell or that people know about me. As a matter of fact, it's probably something that most people don't know about me. And the reason they don't know this about me is that I have been suffering from chronic pain for 11 years, and it is not something that anybody can see. And those of us who suffer from chronic pain, or I think certain mental health issues, often feel like we have to keep our disabilities or our challenges under the radar. And for me, I felt that to be especially important because of how I generally show up in the world, which is that people generally prefer to see me as this happy, optimistic, insightful, enthusiastic person. And the dark side of my story is that I have suffered from this pain, and it's sometimes almost debilitating pain for quite a long time. And I've developed, you know, a real skin around this and around this pain. And my dad used to say, "Debbie, you are a tough broad." And guess what? I am. I'm a tough broad. And I'm also courageous and feel like that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast. Because again, for those of you who are new to the show, I define courage as experiencing multiple challenges or failures and maintaining the belief that individuals, despite and in spite of all these challenges, still might get to a better place. And so I would have to say that the way I've handled my own healthcare, I've advocated for myself for solutions and treatments that have been better is part of my my personal definition of what makes me courageous and that I wanted to share. I guess I would just say on a side note that, you know, I always ask my guests about success and pivots. I would say this one isn't so much about success for me, but it is very much around pivots and needing to make different decisions based on the fact that this is part of who I am. And so oftentimes I've, you know, done the tweak where I've made a small pivot or taken a small action to make myself feel better, to help myself feel better. And that might just be, you know, the basics, ergonomic things. There have been times where I've had to refocus and really think about my own mindset about my pain and how I'm showing up. And then every time I make a major decision about my healthcare, it's been a pivot because there's always a risk, especially when you're dealing with your cervical spine, of what you're doing and what an outcome can look like. So I don't want to bore you with the details of all of this, but I do want to give you a little context of where this started and where it's ended up. So about 11 years ago, I think it's about 11 years ago, I started to have this weird arm pain. And what would happen is every time I put my elbow down, I'd have this shooting pain in my arm and in my fingers, and especially in my middle finger. So I started with that. And for whatever reason, I was sent to a hand doctor through an orthopedic group that I go to. And even though I failed the test that usually would tell us that I might have carpal tunnel, the surgeon still thought that it might relieve me. So the first surgery I had was carpal tunnel surgery. To be honest with you, didn't do much. It might have cut back a little bit on the pain that was happening in my fingers. And then my neck started showing signs of problems. And I will refer to her as her, because I sort of, I know it's so weird, and maybe you've done this too, but when my pain is really bothering me, I have created sort of this disconnect that she's just, she has a different life than me. She's like my alter ego or alter personality. She's not very nice. She can get really frustrated, really tired, and she may not want to show up and play. So she started rearing some ugly signs about 10 years ago. And I was also at that time having what's called scapula pain. So my shoulder was starting to bother me, and the space, you know, that space between your neck and your shoulder, well, it started to really creep up and become difficult. So I had an MRI, and I ended up going to New York to get an opinion about the pain. And I went to a orthopedic guy in New York who looked at my MRI and said, "Holy crap, your neck is like a Jenga board." You know, a Jenga board, it has, you build a Jenga board like one piece at a time. And if you would take out one piece of the Jenga board, other pieces would fall down and like the whole thing could fall apart. So at that time he said, "Well, I think what I can do is I can do a surgery. I think what's happening is that you have something sitting on your radial nerve in your neck that is causing this shooting pain when you put your elbow down. So we're going to do a procedure through the back of your neck. You're going to have neck surgery through the back of your neck. But I'm going to warn you that that shoulder pain that you're having may not go away as a result of this." And so that was a pretty big pivot when I decided to have my first surgery in the back of my neck. So I have like a hole in the back of my neck. If you feel the back of my neck, like where a necklace would clasp, you'll feel a hole back there. But he also said, "Okay, if I do this, I know you're going to be back. And I can't really do multiple levels of work because you will lose mobility. You won't be able to turn your head. So I'm going to start here." So I could have done nothing, or I could have had this initial surgery. So I did that, and it did relieve that radial nerve pain. Woohoo! Like, that was amazing, because it was the kind of pain that, you know, when you hit your funny bone? Well, that's exactly what would happen every time I put my elbow down. It would be woohoo! Kind of terrible pain. So I did that. I got through that lovely recovery, rehab, all that good stuff. And so that was winner, winner, chicken dinner. I was feeling better. And the pain in my scapula was still there. And I think he had said I had a 20% chance of that feeling better as a result of that first surgery. So since I had had a surgery, and I was still having that scapula pain, I went into a place where I needed to look at managing my pain differently, right? So knowing there was a physiological problem that I probably couldn't do anything about immediately, I'd have to live with and see if it got better when everything healed, I started looking at like a bazillion options to deal with this miserable, miserable, miserable scapula pain. So, you ready? Here's the list. I did acupuncture. I don't know if you've ever done acupuncture, but it actually was really relaxing, but insurance didn't pay for acupuncture, and it really didn't sustain me for very long. I did cryotherapy. Cryotherapy is a really cool experience. That's just a joke. Because you go into this room. I actually did a full cryo treatment a couple times where you go into this thing that looks a little bit like a hot tub, but it's standing, and you walk in and you're not wearing any clothes, and you they make the temperature ridiculously low. The idea is that a lot of pain comes from inflammation. So I would get targeted cryotherapy where they would like freeze my arm, freeze my scapula. And I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be, but I'm giving you explanations of this. And let me just say, I freaking hate being cold. So this was like literally no fun for me. And it was really rejuvenating. But again, not sustainable. I did do hypnotherapy, and I would say that that was pretty powerful because it helped me deal with my mindset around pain. And my hypnotherapist was amazing, and she started to give me some subconscious tools or tools that I could use to really reframe my pain. And one of them had to do with color therapy and the color orange. So orange became a really powerful color in my life. You'll see it in my logo. You'll see it in a lot of my clothes. I have fallen in love with orange. But I remember her telling me, like, pay attention to everything that's orange. Like, just keep looking at everything orange. And I want you to think healing. Like, orange and healing go together. So I definitely was able to practice some of that shift through hypnotherapy. I also did other more obvious things. I did physical therapy, right? Which actually oftentimes left me feeling worse because there's such a range of things that physical therapists do. And because they really didn't know enough about the complexity of my situation, sometimes they would aggravate it. Then I did epidurals. Every 3 months, I would get an epidural in my neck. And the epidural was basically, it was an anti-inflammatory going in to my neck at different levels to reduce the swelling again. And so obviously with that, you also are taking medications. I've been taking Celebrex, which like isn't a great thing, for a long time, which people with arthritis take. And we also know that I have a lot of arthritis back there. Then here's a really fun one. So this was really fun when my pain management doctor suggested that I try Botox in my neck. And I don't mean like the front part of my neck so that I could look fabulous, but literally I would go to this doctor, a different kind of pain doctor. Makes me kind of think of, there's a few songs about this. I saw the pain doctor and the pain doctor said, he said, I'm going to put all these, I'm going to give you injections of Botox in your neck because Botox is a muscle relaxer. So what happens to me when I'm at my worst pain is my neck literally goes into these massive spasms, like massive, massive spasms. So the idea was the Botox would relax my neck spasms, which was that pain was coming from the grinding of discs on top of each other. And that Botox would be helpful. Well, let me just tell you that Botox, getting like 13 to 15 Botox injections in your neck, super painful. And then I would think to myself, oh, this is great. Like, yeah, this is an option. But again, I'm putting like something not so good on my neck to get this result. Because as we all know, unfortunately, Botox is rat poison. So kind of got a little creeped out about that. So I kept trying a multitude of all of these therapies, right? I'd go back to my favorite doctor. He would say, let's try this. I would say, sure. I would be hopeful. I would have courage. and I might get a certain amount of relief, and then that relief would go away. And I think what is really important about this is that throughout this whole process, I was really persistent. I would read everything. I would read everything about cervical disc disease. So the discs in my neck, they're, you know, your C-spine. And unfortunately, unlike your lumbar spine where you can get a replacement, you cannot do that in your neck. But I kept looking. I mean, I literally, guys, have looked at things like going to a different country and doing stem cell replacement surgery of these discs. I've looked at other countries that do this replacement of discs. And I have been like truly an advocate for my own healthcare because I've always believed that I could feel better and I wanted to. Like, this was not the way that I wanted to show up. And I would be able to make it through my days. And I would say 90% of people would never know that I was dealing with this. I remember days when I was working at Habitat where I was having a bad pain day and I would have to be on. And for those of you who that resonates with, like people expect you to be on, it was freaking exhausting. It was so exhausting to just show up and be on. And I really didn't want people to know that I was dealing with this. Again, it's very private and it's very personal. And people have a lot of judgment. You know, you're too stressed out. You have too many things going on. You're working too hard. And I knew from my doctors that I wasn't making this up. As a matter of fact, every time I had an MRI, I came home and I celebrated and I was like, I'm not crazy. Look, I'm not crazy. And I remember how upset I would feel before I would go into these MRIs that, you know, I was whining or complaining about something. And how I really did oftentimes feel that I was being judged for this pain and that people were judging my behavior and my reaction versus really what was my reality. And I think that's really important. And I think that's part of thinking courageously. People will judge you. And so she persists. She persisted again. I persisted again because I started getting something that I call my Frankenstein pain. And my Frankenstein pain is like no other pain that I've experienced. Imagine having deadbolts in your neck and just having them screwed tighter and tighter and feeling just this incredible, like just incredible pain. And as a result of that, again, it's because of the grinding that happens and also what happens in something called my facet joints. I don't want to go into too many details with it, that create this Frankenstein pain. And it was then that I decided that I needed to get another opinion on what I was doing. And I went to a neurosurgeon and he was really skeptical about doing surgery on me because, again, of this multiple level problem. But he did another MRI and he decided, okay, we're going to go with this. And so I had surgery in the front of my neck about 18 months ago. And that was a really hard recovery. And it also was really interesting because I have a scar on my neck. Now, when you look at me on Facebook or you watch a Facebook Live or you see a picture of me, you may not see the scar because I'm very fortunate. It healed really well. But it really, at that point, became a little bit of a vanity thing for me. And I didn't want to have this scar on my neck. But I decided to do it. And what was really interesting about this story is that he really didn't want to do the surgery again. But when he went in to do the surgery and he was going to do a fusion at two levels in my neck, he found out that there had been something that was never showing up on the MRI report. And that was I had a nerve that was literally sitting on... It was all connected to a nerve and a pain root, and he was able to do the fusion at the level where that was happening. And So I was really hopeful. Like, I actually would have to say that I've been feeling overall much better since I've had that surgery. And what I think is really interesting is that I had the belief that there was something more to what was going on. Like, I would say all the time that I knew that there was something else happening here. And it was such a specific and targeted pain. Now, I don't want you to take any of this as medical advice. Again, I'm warning you about that. But a couple things happened after this surgery. I started really appreciating the times when I felt good, right? So excited. I mean, it is so exciting when you have chronic pain and you feel good. Like, you honestly wake up every morning and you're like, look what I can do. Like, all I wanted to do, this is so pathetic, but all I wanted to do is be able to walk my dogs and feel good about walking my dogs. So I did feel better. But ultimately what ended happening is that nerve root, that nerve kept growing back. So yesterday I had a second procedure called a rhizotomy, where I'm awake and they go in and they burn the nerves at two levels in my neck. And it really works. Like, I feel like a different person today. But unfortunately, what happens for me is I got about 5 months out of that solution, and then the pain kicks in and it starts a cycle of pain, and it starts a mindset of pain, and it becomes this like really, really horrible place to be. And so I've been in coronavirus with this pain the last month, and it's been super hard, and it's been impacting my ability to focus. My poor husband oftentimes feels what I'm going through at night because it shows up bigly at night, right? And it usually takes about 3 weeks from 3 weeks to a month between the time that it starts until the time I can see a doctor, until the time I can get my insurance, until the time that I can get my injection or my this rhizotomy, which provides immediate relief. But I wanted to share this because I feel like so many people out there suffer from things that we don't know about. And whether it's physical pain or whether it's psychological pain or it's some sort of invisible pain that other people don't know and we don't want to share with them, it's really hard. And it can become just debilitating, and it can also become your story. And I remember my hypnotherapist saying to me at one point, are you ready to give up your pain as your story? And oh my God, I've never wanted to have the pain as my story. Like, never. I don't ever want to have it as my story, but sometimes it's the reality of who I am and why I am. And I wanted to share that story because, again, I just want to give you all permission to, first of all, put this in the context of the energy levels that I talk about often. So when I get into this space, I get pretty catabolic. At best, I am dealing with a level 3 energy. It is what it is. At worst, I'm into a total level 1. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want the day to be over. And then as soon as I'm out of that pain, I'm able to show up anabolically at levels 4, 5, 6, all the good stuff, 7. So I just want to give voice to others who are going through this and say, I really encourage you to never stop learning about whatever it is that's hurting you. B, find people that will support you on your journey. I am so fortunate to have an amazing pain management doctor. I guess C, or number 3, is that try every option. Oh, I guess the one option I didn't talk about is a fun fact. Deb has a medical marijuana card. And that actually has been super helpful for me. total game changer when I'm in that month that I've been talking about of trying to either take the edge off the pain. I never take it during the day. I only use it at night, but that became an option. So keep trying, like be courageous about it. Fight for yourself. Ask lots of questions. Be willing to try new things. Shift your mindset around it. Be patient with yourself. Love yourself. Realize that you are perfectly imperfect. And I'll end this story by saying that people oftentimes have said to me, like, how did this happen to you? Were you in an accident? How did this happen? And I remember a doctor saying, you know, Deb, the only way I can describe what is going on in the back of your neck is that it's a manufacturer's defect. And even saying that out loud is hard, right? A manufacturer's defect. Like it's just the stack of cards that I was dealt with in terms of my body, and the rest of me is in really good shape. So I want you again to just, I'm hoping that the nugget in this is that we all have times where we have to shift our mindset. We have to align our thinking with our actions. We have to take bold moves. We have to try new things. But courage is about continually showing up, and it's about continually knowing that you are put here for a reason. And when you feel better, and when you feel your energy, and when you feel alive, you can better think, better serve the world and show up differently, and of course, think courageously. So thank you for letting me share this story with you. I do hope that it gives some of you some insight into this. I'm happy to talk to you further about it. I'm happy to support you through coaching. I also always want to remind you, and I'll be putting this in our Facebook community. I do have a Facebook community that you can get to by going to Deb Cummins Stellato. You'll see it as a group in there. I'd love to open this conversation up for people about these topics and to explore this further with you. And I'd also, as always, it would be great if you could leave a review and a rating. Let other people know if this podcast is resonating for you. And also, you can always go to www.thethinkgoodcompany and find out more about me, about my journey, about what I do. And I hope you do that, because I love building a relationship with you, and I want to hear about your stories, and I want to support you in your journey to think courageously. Hey, thanks again for being with me. Look forward to being here next week, where my special guest will be my dear friend, Danielle Adams.